White text appears over a gradient of colors. Logo, Tubi Originals. A light trails across reflective text boxed in white geometric lines. Logo, Origo. A silhouetted child in a dress stands on a swing hanging in a tree. The moon sets behind it as the sun rises. Logo, Hillin Entertainment. Credits appear over a glitchy black and red background with satanic symbols. Origo Financial Film Bridge International present. A Hillin Entertainment production. In association with TB Films, Legion 13. And Benetone Films. Ed Moroni. An image of a man with a black beanie and a beard appears. Crashbust. An image of a mane with brown hair appears. Tony Todd. An image of a bald man and a red plaid shirt appears. Adrian Barbeau. An image of an older woman with short brown hair appears. Meg Foster. An image of an older woman with sand-colored hair appears. Courtney Gaines. An image of a man with a blonde beard appears. John Kassir. An image of an older man in a ball cap appears. Danielle Gross. An image of a woman with blonde pulled back hair and bright lipstick appears. With Bruce Dern. An image of an older man in glasses and a Vietnam veteran hat appears. And Billy Zane. An image of a man with slanted eyes and scraggly hair appears. Makeup department head Melanie Young. Costume designer Samantha Kuster. Editor Eamon Long, Crashbust. Cinematographer Logan Fulton. Music by Christopher Cano. Associate producer Rachvin Narula, Kulthep Narula. Co-producer Rich Carlo. Co-executive producer Ellen Wunder, Jordan Dykstra, Jeff Bowler. Executive producer Sandra Powers, Zachary Powers. Executive producer Vasily Bernhardt, Teres Scheidlich. Executive producer Frank Salzano. Executive producer Avi Haas. Producer Melanie Young. Produced by Justin Lee. Produced by Demon Hillin. Written and directed by Justin Lee. A title appears, Hellblazers. Hooded, robed figures stand around a glowing hole in the earth as steam swirls out of it.
Time has come, my friends. For a long time we have struggled, haven't we?
Starving. For what is?
A scraggly-haired man opens a book.
For tonight, we quench our thirst for the manifestation of our beliefs.
He reads from the book in a dark forest.
A perfect subject approacheth.
A hooded figure drags in a blonde man with a terrified look.
A perfect subject approacheth. A perfect vessel.
They hold the man on his knees at the edge of the hole.
Throw him in. Steve didn't dig a hole to hell for nothing. Put him in there.
Elsewhere, a wooden cross reads, Lorna Louise Unger, December 3, 1926 to March 28, 1989.
Lorna, I really miss you.
An old man in a Vietnam veteran hat holds out a rose.
I try and get you a fresh one every day.
He leans forward in his wheelchair and tosses the rose on the grave.
Who the hell's on my property?
He turns to the dark woods.
Hello!
The old man rolls his chair to a break in the trees. A glowing light illuminates his curious face. He watches as the hooded figures push the blonde man into the fiery pit.
Nocta Tocorum! Melial Adeodora!
The scraggly-haired man closes the book and looks nervously into the glowing pit. The old man watches with a furrowed brow from the trees. Hands reach out from the pit with long yellow claws. Sparks fly in the air as the man watches with interest. A creature pushes its way up on the edge of the pit. It raises its gray head, hairless with long sharp teeth and gaping holes for a nose. It looms over the scraggly-haired man as he flips open his book.
We have brought you forth in good faith and great effort. You must feed and transform further and become stronger. My loyal subjects are but your servants and are here to help you with that task. Be free. But not just yet. Be free and let chaos reign.
The man sighs with his eyes closed and snaps his book shut.
Now, see that the beast is fed.
He turns to the hooded figures who watch him with folded hands.
Now.
The old man's eyes widen as he watches through the trees.
Lorna, we got a big problem.
Later, in the daytime, a young man with headphones on pedals a bicycle carrying a messenger bag. He stands on the pedals as he rides down a dirt road past a wood sign. It reads, "Welcome to Hope Valley. Last gas 60 miles. Now he rolls up to a diner and tosses a newspaper on the front step before taking off. An older woman steps out the door in an apron and grabs the paper.
Morning, Timmy.
Next door, at a Christmas tree farm, a guy with a blonde beard and overalls steps out of the trees with a chainsaw in one hand and a rolled newspaper in the other.
Damn it, Timmy, what?
Damn, kid.
Pancho! Hey, Pancho!
He glances around.
Come here, boy.
What the hell'd you run off to?
Pancho! Come here, boy! Hey!
Now a police cruiser drives down the dirt road towards town. It rolls in past the diner and tree farm, then pulls into a parking space across the street. The officer wears a black beanie as he sits in his cruiser for a moment, clenching his jaw. He stares forward, then leans his head back on the seat. The cop reaches over to the glove box and glances nervously at his side mirror before bringing a small flask to his lips.
Hey, Sheriff!
Rick?
A guy in blue coveralls pops his head in the passenger window. The sheriff stashes his flask in the door and gets out of the car.
Getting all settled in, are you?
As much as one can, I guess. Not much to get settled into now, is there?
Yeah, I know. Shape much to look at, but we have a close-knit community here. It's been that way for 50 years.
That's what they tell me.
He grabs a shotgun from the back seat.
I get it. You big town folk aren't too keen on small town living. We don't got your supermarkets or your Radio Shacks.
Rick gives a friendly smile.
I like the quiet, actually, Rick.
Oh, well, that's good, because we got plenty of that. Chiggers and snakes, too.
The sheriff nods awkwardly.
Rick?
I'll leave you to it.
Rick raises his coffee mug and walks away.
See ya.
In the police department, two cops sit across a desk.
Oh, that's nice.
Look good?
Yeah. Come on, coffee.
Where?
Here.
All right, you're ready?
Yeah.
All right.
See if it works?
He tosses a paper airplane.
Oh!
Real good one. That was real close.
They turn to their paperwork as the sheriff steps in.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Jeff.
Anything new to report?
Yeah, somebody stole Frosty from the Tegans' front yard yesterday.
Really?
I swear, who steals a plastic snowman?
A blonde officer shakes her head.
That's it?
The sheriff raises his brow.
There might be a rabid coon up in Fakto Canyon.
Again?
Yeah.
Raccoons, what do you raccoons? I don't know how to deal with raccoons. How do you guys normally deal with raccoons?
We have to shoot them.
Especially if it's rabid.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that makes sense.
How many raccoons in New York, boss?
Lots. Just never had to deal with any rabid ones. Is that a normal thing around here?
What?
Rabid animals?
Sometimes.
Yeah, especially the cows.
Oh.
Cows?
Oh, yeah. A lot of vampires swooping around.
He flips through paperwork.
Vampires? What the hell are we talking about here?
Bats.
Bats.
Yeah, rodents who fly.
Yeah, they carry rabies, boss. Bite the cow's legs and transfer it over to the damn things.
It is real bad.
It gets weird.
Like that movie.
What movie?
The movie. The one with the mother and the son. They're in the car. The rabid dog just...
The officers give him confused looks.
The mother, the son, they're in the car with the dog with rabies. He's trapped... Really? No one here.
No, I can't see I've ever seen a movie like that, Sheriff. Yeah. Have you?
No. Are you a big fan of movies, boss?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
The guy cop smirks at his Bond coworker and she nods.
All right, well, I'm gonna go make the rounds, so.
You hold on the fort.
See you later.
The sheriff peers over his glasses at the guy as he leaves.
He's got a crush.
Elsewhere, a hand turns a dial on a boombox. A colorful stained glass lamp turns on, or a light click on in the background. Neon sign for light beer flicks on, and someone clears a newspaper and ashtrays from a wood counter. They wipe it down with a rag, then they wipe arcade game consoles. She smacks a wet mop on the checkered floor and taps her bright red shoes to the beat. Young blonde waitress in an apron dances around a bar counter, clearing a tray and napkins. She steps to the music as she mops the floor. She does a wave with her shoulders and tosses her rag in the air. Now she wipes the counter and twirls the rag over her head as she puckers her red lips. She does a shimmy and throws her blonde ponytail around. She spins around and drops her arms to the counter with a smile.
Oh.
The guy cop stands across the bar with a grin.
Hi, Teddy.
Morning.
Can I get you a cup of coffee?
That'd be wonderful.
So how's the new sheriff?
Oh, he's quiet.
That makes sense.
Does it?
Sure. doesn't really know any of us here.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Sure is. He moved all the way out here from a place half a world away. Big city, all the lights, all the people. I wonder what that must be like.
What's that?
Then I wonder how that must feel. Probably pretty lonely.
Oh. I guess I hadn't thought about it.
Don't give him too much grief.
Who, me? I wouldn't dream of it.
The waitress smiles at a customer.
Hey, Deanna.
Morning, Harry.
Teddy. How you doing?
They shake hands.
How's our little fledgling town doing this morning?
Oh, well, day's just started, sir, so.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I suppose that is true. I suppose so. Teddy, let me ask you something.
He's a nice fella, Harry.
He hasn't really begun making his rounds around here yet. So a whole lot of people think that he's a bit cold.
Lonely. Maybe.
Teddy and Deanna share a smile and the bald customer cocks his head.
Yeah, I guess it takes time. Just into a quiet place. Teddy, How's your mama doing? She liking it down in Appleton?
Teddy sips his coffee.
She is. She does. Likes it just fine. It's a change of scenery for her, so it ought to do her some good.
Deanna purses her lips.
There are some things about home she misses, though.
Harry stares over at Teddy, and Teddy gives him an awkward smile.
Yeah, make sure to give it my best.
All right, well, I better be off. Thank you for the coffee, Deanna. Harry?
Teddy.
Teddy pauses at the door, smiling at Deanna. Then he turns and steps out the door. Harry shakes his head at her with a smirk.
What you waiting for? Huh? That's a good kid. What's wrong with you?
Deanna grins, stretching on the counter.
Let me have a glass of eggnog.
Fine.
Let's get this morning started.
Only one, though.
Only one. There's nothing in it, right?
At the police station, Teddy steps in the door by the sheriff's desk.
Ooh, look at you looking busy.
Doing all right?
Yeah, I live. Streets are clean.
All right.
The sheriff takes notes disinterestedly. Across the room, the blonde officer writes on a notepad. The Vietnam veteran drops a shotgun on the sheriff's desk with a serious look.
Morning, Bill. Anything I can do for you in the 12-gauge you just slammed on my desk?
I want to make a complaint.
Okay, about what exactly?
On my property last night, something happened. I had a group of visitors.
Trespassers?
Visitors.
The sheriff blinks at him.
Oh, I don't understand. Visitors, what do you call them?
Trespassers.
Oh, okay. Well, that must be a big city word.
Right.
I don't get it.
Actually, it's just English, Bill. Do you know who these individuals are?
No, sir.
Did they take anything? Did they destroy anything?
Well, they were dressed in sheets. All kind of like, I don't know, Purdue University sheet-looking things, you know, with that color. They have that horrible Purdue color, you know. This team never makes the Final Four, but when they do, they wear that awful, I don't know, yellowish kind of thing that they have. Sheets that color. Faces covered. Scarf over their nose and half like they were in Afghanistan or some fucking place. They started dancing around, moving, swaying, doing all that stuff. It started with all that hippie stuff, only it wasn't now Marenghi. You know, the bald guys. And with the orange on. And they all started holding hands and made a ring. There's about a dozen of them. They were dancing around, then they joined hands and they danced around in a circle. Like old hippie girls or like, you know, the Hare Krishna people, and they start chanting. It was in rhyme, and they were all together on it. And then they started chanting words in a gibberish kind of a language. And then, all of a sudden, they drag a guy out of the bushes over there. And he's laid down right here. And next to him, the earth started to open up. The earth started to open up. And I'm way over there watching. And I look down, and I can't see down in the hole, but it goes way down. And it's a door to hell. And out of that hole, hey, bud, look at me. Out of that hole comes a thing. And as it gets higher and higher out of the ground, and I see the whole thing, it's the most terrifying, horrible-looking beast you've ever seen in your life. A being. Some kind of, you know, thing you couldn't imagine could ever be put together. Frightening, terrifying. And then you know what the beast does? He goes into the body of the guy on the ground. And he's gone, but the body is there. And he's in the body. So he now is in this body, this horrifying thing, who is capable, I'm sure, of anything.
The sheriff stares blankly at Bill.
Anything else?
I'm sorry?
Is there anything else?
Yeah. I was in Nam and I saw a lot of shit. You're from the big city.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a lot of shit. But neither one of us ever saw shit as scary or frightening as this. And you gotta do something about it.
All right, let me get this straight.
The sheriff shakes his head.
You got a whole bunch of people on your property.
Yeah.
They're wearing Purdue uniforms.
Yeah.
They're dancing around and singing.
Right.
Wearing funky
chanting,
pants.
Chanting.
Chanting. A hole opens in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, so something...
And the hole is deep.
Okay, so deep hole.
Yeah.
Something comes out of the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Goes into the body.
Yeah.
Where's the body go?
Got up and ran off that way into the woods.
Of course it did.
The other folks all just took off.
Let me ask you a question.
He grabs a pencil and a notepad.
You know, if kids like to come on your property and they like to party...
Speak up, asshole. What?
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah,
you
well,
call
I
me
can't
an
hear
asshole?
You. Okay. Am I allowed to be deaf?
Yeah, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Okay. What's the question?
You got a lot of kids that come on your property and they like the party?
Never. You've only been here a couple weeks. You don't know me. They know who I am. They don't come on my property. And after 3 minutes with me now, you also know who I am. I'm a raging asshole. But I got game.
You got game.
And I saw something bigger than game.
Okay.
Last night.
The tree farm guy comes in.
Are you a drinker?
Does Pinocchio have a wooden dick?
Hey. Y'all seen Pancho? I can't find him anywhere.
Jesus again, Bernard.
Can't you put a leash on your fucking dog one time?
He doesn't need a leash in this town.
Of course he needs a leash. He's a dog. He's got a dog named Pancho. The dog is never on a leash. You know, there are signs out there that say every dog should be on a leash. He's a dog. He's mangy. He's a critter. He bites people. And the dog is a bit of an asshole. Plus, he's a Mexican
what?
Dog.
Okay.
Did you ever call my dog an asshole, old man? Did
I said he was a
dog?
Mexican
dog. All right. Come on. Let's go. Let's
are
go.
You saying Mexicans
no.
are assholes?
Okay. All right, Bill. Let's go.
You don't come on. Listen to me, Lord. I just told you you're worried about some fucking guy can't keep his dog on a leash.
I'm listening to you. I'll go check your property.
Please.
Don't call me an asshole anymore.
Did I call you an asshole?
You did.
But did I also tell you before that I'm an asshole?
Okay.
In Nam, communication was the whole thing. So look for the phone lines to go down at some point. And they'll be talking on shortwave radios, and you'll hear the chatter back and forth. And that's the first warning. That's when you know.
The sheriff closes his eyes.
Hello.
Yeah, Bill, give me a few minutes. I'll go take a look at your property, okay?
You don't need to worry about it. I already prepared for it.
What's that supposed to mean?
You'll see. I get shit done. This is bad shit. Get it taken care of. Because if you don't take care of it, all hell's about to break loose.
I'll take care of it. First thing on my list, Bill. Thanks for coming in.
Bill rolls back in his wheelchair and out the door. The sheriff watches him with a tight brow.
Bill, your gun.
It was very creepy.
Is that normal?
He's been a little off lately. I mean, he's been seeing weird things. He once claimed to see, like, an alien landing, but that was just a couple kids screwing around, so.
The sheriff sighs and throws his pencil down on the desk. Later, he steps out of the station wearing a green winter coat. He strolls into the street as a young couple walk by holding hands.
Charlie.
Morning, Sheriff.
Morning, Sheriff.
Two headed off to?
We're just gonna go look at some eagles.
Careful.
Yes, sir.
Timmy rides up on his bike.
Oh, Timmy. Timmy, do me a favor. Stop delivering newspapers on your bicycle. They're blowing all over town, okay?
Okay, Sheriff.
All right.
Timmy rides away. The sheriff grips his sidearm, then steps into a building next door. Elsewhere, at KTLY Radio, an older brunette speaks into a microphone.
Are you counting the days? Because I am. It's less than a week until jolly old St. Nick comes to visit Hope Valley for the 22nd annual Christmas giving celebration and photos with Santa. So bundle up the kids, bring them on down, and have a good one.
A young guy hands her something.
Thanks, sweetie. And now, here's the latest hit from the midnight.
The sheriff steps inside.
Morning, Sheriff.
Bobby?
Hey, I'm gonna go open up the store, Mom.
Okay. Did you get anything new down there?
Elvira and Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I was hoping for all the president's men.
Yeah, next time.
I'll see you later.
Sheriff?
What can I do for you, Joe?
You have time for some questions?
Yeah, I got about 3 minutes.
Sheriff Joe checks out a vintage camera.
You get many listeners out here?
Lots of farm folk from miles around. They gotta have something to listen to while they fix their trailers and milk their damn cows.
You get any chatter on the other channels with this thing?
I don't switch channels too often. Too much religion and not enough rock and roll. But on occasion I do, especially if there's a disaster in the area. You might could say I use it for news purposes.
Why do you ask?
He purses his lips skeptically.
You listened to anything last night?
Yeah.
Anything sound a bit unusual?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
There was a wreck up by the junction, and a man was reported missing near Able Station.
Missing persons?
Yeah. That's not unusual. A lot of guys up and leave their wives for younger legs. The way of the world, Sheriff.
Way of the world? Okay. Thanks, Georgia. Hey, do me a favor. Let me know if anything strange comes across these channels, okay?
Anything I should know about?
Yeah, just want to keep my ear close to the ground, that's all.
Oh, I hate to tell you, Joe, but nothing too exciting happens around here.
Yeah, that's what they keep telling me.
Can I give you some advice?
Sure.
Not all places are bad. Some places attract bad folks, but don't go looking for trouble if there's none to find.
Thanks for the advice. Have a good day.
Georgia pops her headphone on with a smile. Later, a police cruiser drives down a long dirt road. Teddy grabs the radio handset.
Teddy, you call me?
Go for Teddy.
Where the hell did you disappear off to?
I'm looking for Bernard's dog. He said he might be out here on McDaniels Road chasing jackrabbits.
So then where are you?
McDaniels Road, Liz.
Copy that. See you when you get back.
Y'all ever get rid of Bill?
Yeah, he finally left, but not before having some Vietnam flashbacks.
Any more prophecies from the end times we should be worried about?
He did say something about them cutting the phone lines. I don't know, his usual crazy stuff.
Teddy creases his brow.
Does Bill even have a phone?
That road is bumpy as hell, Teddy. Don't go breaking another car.
Good Lord, I won't, Liz.
All right, well, don't stay out too long.
Teddy out.
Teddy gazes over the steering wheel, then squints at something as he brings the car to a stop. He slowly pushes the driver's door open, staring intently at something in the road. As he steps towards it, the view turns, revealing Timmy's bicycle and headphones strewn in the road. A splash of blood colors the dirt next to them. Teddy clenches his lip, then turns to see two hooded figures standing in the tall grass by the road. They face him, unmoving as he glances back at the roadway. As Teddy turns back to face them, they're gone. We stares into an empty field beneath some hills. Teddy hurries back to his car and reaches for the ignition. Backs the car down the dirt road, then spins the wheel hard as he turns around. The cruiser leaves a dust trail as he speeds back down the road the way he came. Elsewhere, the sun peeks through some trees as the view closes in on a blue parked car by the dirt street. In the car, the young couple make out. They grab at each other's faces as they kiss passionately.
So much for spotting eagles.
There's a ton of them out here, I promise.
They kiss again as the car rocks.
What was that?
I don't know. Probably one of those eagles? Come on.
They look around, but start making out again. The car lurches.
Okay, no, someone's out here with us. Come on. Like.
All right, I'll take a look. Let's see what it is.
You mean who it is?
It's probably a hitchhiker trying to mess with us. Relax.
The guy gets out of the driver's seat and presses his fingers to the window as he shuts the door. He walks behind the car as she looks around anxiously from the passenger seat. The girl glances around through the windows. Then the guy appears suddenly at her door with a frantic expression.
Please open the door! Open the door! Unlock the door! Unlock the door! Please, please, hurry up! Please, open the door!
Charlie!
The monster snatches Charlie from view. Her face crumples with a fearful expression as she looks around. A bloody hand with long yellow talons smacks the windshield. The sun pokes over the grassy hills around town. Elsewhere, Bill sits in his wheelchair looking around. Then he turns over his shoulder with a smile.
Lorna! Take a look at this.
A cloaked figure faces him, standing in the dirt road.
Here they come. Here's the first asshole, dressed like he went to fucking Purdue. Oh, look. He brought a little partner with him, and he's got some kind of peculiar shit in his hand. This guy's got a knife. That guy's got, I don't know what he's got. Oh, and there's a third guy. Figures. Three assholes. You know, three amigos. Well, I tell you what, boys, or girls, whatever you might be, did you ever play Teacher May I in school? Well, it goes like this. You can advance toward me, only if I give you permission. So why don't you take five giant steps toward me?
One of the figures holds a curved blade.
Come on down, son.
The cloaked figure turns to his companions, then advances toward Bill. He steps through a thin trip wire and an explosion knocks him to the ground.
Surprise for you, I did 3 tours in Nam, and you think you're gonna sneak up on a crippled old man in a fucking wheelchair? Let's go, boys. Come on down. Let's get on with it. Don't waste the whole fucking day.
Bill reveals a green box in his lap. It reads, "Front toward enemy." Another of the cloaked people steps forward and is hit with an explosion from the side. The smoke clears, and the third figure shifts his feet.
Now why don't you come on down unless you're a chicken shit?
Bill grips a grenade in each hand as he frowns across the drive. The last person steps forward wielding a long knife. Bill watches with squinting eyes and a hard expression. Feet from Bill, the cloaked person stops in his tracks, his foot caught in a bear trap.
Oh, what a fucking shame. Right in the grizzly bear trap. Does that hurt? Oh, well, that's a bear trap, son. You're not getting out of it. You trying to cut me? What are you slashing at me for? You're never going to touch me. Look here, bud.
Bill flicks the pin from a grenade.
Happy Hanukkah!
Bill and the cloaked figure are consumed by a cloud of gray smoke. The view fills with pluming smoke, then cuts to black. Elsewhere, the monster's taloned fingers grip a wall. Viscous red liquid drips from its teeth and down its chin. The monster grips its hairless head. It writhes and rubs at its skull. Under its skin, a small bulge moves around, and the monster holds its head, hunching over. Now a tear forms in its pale skin as something brown and slimy protrudes out. A long horn-shaped protrusion slides out from the tear in the skin. Flesh and blood drips to the floor. The monster stands up straight, now with long curled horns on either side of its head. Torn flesh hangs over them, and some drops to the floor. The monster leans back, showing more horns protruding from its cheeks. Elsewhere at Mary's Diner, Joe eats a burger, alone at the counter.
How's the lunch, Joe?
Still got the best burger in town, Mary.
Ain't saying much now, is it?
Mary writes on a pad as a brunette woman rushes in.
Mary! Oh. I am so sorry I'm late.
Honey, does it look like we're overflowing here?
No. It does not.
Cindy, have you met the new sheriff here?
Afraid I've not.
Oh. What about here? It's Joe Anderson.
Pleasure to meet you, Sheriff.
Pleasure's all mine.
They shake hands and Cindy hurries around the counter in her apron.
Joe here's from New York.
Oh, is that so?
Afraid it is.
And what brought you all the way down here?
She watches him as he stares down at his plate.
Change the scenery.
Not a big fan of all that concrete, huh?
Not a big fan of all those people, Mary. Thanks for the lunch.
Don't mention it.
He drops some cash on the counter and turns to the door as Officer Liz comes in.
Sheriff, just got a call into the office.
What about?
Loud noises come from Bill's place.
Loud noises?
Yeah, neighbors said it sounded like explosions or something.
Well, God knows what he has stashed out there at his place.
Okay, where's Teddy?
He's out looking for that missing dog. He's on his way back now.
All right, we'll go take a look. Teddy, command the office till we get back.
Cindy watches him fondly.
Cindy?
Hope to see you around. Hope to see you around. What is wrong with me, Mary?
Oh. It's called butterflies.
I don't like butterflies.
Yes, you do.
Later at the sheriff's office, Joe hops in his car as a young man hurries toward him. He walks away as Joe peels out of his parking spot. Now, Bobby crossed the street, watching the police car drive away. He tucks his hands in his coat pockets and stands with Rick in his blue coveralls.
He seems like an interesting fellow.
Hell, Bobby, all men are interesting if you look deep enough. What can I do for you?
About that timing belt. Let's do it up.
Do it up? Does that mean you want me to order it for you?
Yeah, how long do you think it'll take to get here?
Well, I have to order it up from Ingram, so... usually only takes a couple of days. Come on.
Bobby follows Rick into the auto repair shop. Inside, Rick fingers a rotary phone while Bobby leans on the desk. Dust rises in the air around dirt-smeared walls.
They usually have those in stock. Usually.
Bobby spins a dial on a gumball machine.
Don't play with that. Hey, Terry. It's Rick here in Hope Valley. Yeah, me too. That's a very interesting story, Terry. Listen, Terry, how long will it take to get a timing belt delivered? A timing belt? Hello?
Rick toggles the switch.
Hello? Terry?
What's the matter?
That's odd.
What?
The phone went dead.
That's strange.
Rick strolls through his dirty garage and Bobby follows. Outside, he grabs a payphone handset and dials.
Were all the lines down?
Not sure.
He smacks the phone down and looks around.
Is your mom around?
Should be.
Now they strut across the street and enter the radio office.
Mom, you here? Mom? Georgia?
They look around, but Georgia isn't there. Rick grabs a phone from her desk and clicks the switch.
This one's dead too.
Hey, boys.
Georgia appears with a coffee mug.
Oh. She got you, Bobby.
I've been scaring the socks off that kid since he was two.
Hey, well, it's not funny. You give me a heart attack.
Oh, what's going on?
Phones are dead.
Yeah.
All of them?
Every single one of them.
She looks away thoughtfully.
Georgia, what is it?
The sheriff was in here this morning and he was concerned about something, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
It could just be a technical thing. No need to work ourselves silly about it, right?
Well, sure, Bobby, but we just saw the sheriff squeal out of here like a bat out of hell.
Bobby swallows hard and Georgia turns the dials on her radio.
You're off the 112 headed towards Bellinger's property.
Copy that, Liz. Everything okay?
Not sure. What'd you find out about the dog?
You know, I'm not sure I'll discuss that till we're back at the office. I'm pulling out of town in a few seconds, so I'll see you both when you get back, okay?
Copy that, Teddy.
All right, Teddy out.
Well, he's here right now.
They peek out the blinds, then head for the door. Georgia clicks off the radio and follows them. Outside, they surround Teddy's cruiser as he pulls up to the curb. He steps out of the car with a concerned look.
Hey, what are y'all doing here?
You okay, Teddy?
Yeah, tell us what's going on, Teddy.
I'm not really sure I can explain it right now.
Do the best you can, son.
Okay, Rick. Well, I went out looking for Bernard's dog. I didn't find it, but I came across Timmy's bike, and...
And what?
Georgia and Rick watch him with serious expressions.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I need to make a phone call.
I need to call Timmy's parents to make sure he got home safe.
Rick says all the phone lines are down.
All of them?
All of them.
Teddy gapes at them with a knowing look.
I've seen that look before.
Bill.
Unger?
Yeah, he was in town this morning spouting his usual crazy nonsense. This time something about people on his property doing some weird stuff.
Weird stuff? Yeah, he said to look out for the phone lines.
What does that mean?
The phone lines. He said, he was going on about communications.
Teddy, where are the sheriff and Liz headed to now?
His face falls.
Bill's place.
Now, at Bill's place, the sheriff and Liz roll up the dirt drive through his property. Joe parks the car on the drive, blood-splattered metal barrels. A stray shoe rests on the lawn under a big tree. Liz and Joe hop out of the car and Joe holds up a hand, halting Liz. He advances toward the scene ahead of her, and she follows slowly behind him. Bill's Vietnam veteran hat lays in the dirt as Joe looks around, then peers down at the shoe. He kneels and lifts it with a stick, examining the brown leather shoe.
It looks like blood.
Yes, it does.
Joe's eyes flick around the scene, and he squints with a creased brow. He stands up, gripping his sidearm on his hip.
What is it?
Joe holds out a hand again as he spots an unexploded mine.
He mined the place?
It would appear that way now, wouldn't it?
Where's Bill?
Liz looks around anxiously.
I don't know.
Now Joe squints, spotting Bill's wheelchair laying on its side in the dirt. Another stray shoe lay beside the empty chair. Joe approaches the chair, leaving Liz behind him.
Sheriff?
He waves a hand behind him and pauses.
Sheriff!
Give me a second.
Joe!
Joe turns around to see the monster standing directly behind Liz. It grabs her face with both hands and squeezes her head. Dark red blood pours from Liz's head and she collapses to the ground. Joe's wide eyes dart to the mine. He whips out his gun. The view shows a setting sun over the hills. Colored string lights flick on outside Harry's bar and grill. More string lights flick on in town, lining the buildings and street, as the sky turns a dark blue. Now, under the zigzag hanging lights, a cloaked figure appears in the street. The view moves in on his obscured face, covered in a black mask under the loose orange hood. He wields a long dagger. Now another figure appears, wielding a wooden bat. A third steps into the street from the tree farm stand, gripping an axe in both hands. At the sheriff's office, Teddy speaks into a radio handset.
This is Teddy for Joe. Come in, Joe. Liz, do you read me? Liz, give me a read here, anything.
You either talking to Bill.
Sure, maybe they aren't by the radio.
No. No, big city cop we're talking about here. He ain't dumb. He don't do things the way we do here.
What's that supposed to mean?
He just means Joe's a skeptical guy, that's all.
I can clarify that.
Even with Bill's crazy-ass story, he's still on to investigate. I guess it takes somebody from out of town to think that guy's not totally off his nut.
I wonder if Timmy's folks have a CB.
All right, so what do we do?
Why the hell are you looking at me for? There's your new leader of the pack right there.
No, no. Joe will be back. All right, he'll be back. We just stay put.
And what do we do if he don't come back?
All right. I'm going to drive my rig over to Bill's. See what I can drum up.
Rick heads out the door.
I'll stay on the shortwave and listen for anything that comes in.
All right. I guess I'll make the rounds and make sure that everybody's staying calm.
Guess I better go make sure Bernard's not looking for his goddamn dog.
Just stay calm. I'll go over and check on Harry and Deanna, and I'll fill him in on the situation, Teddy.
All right, Bobby.
Everyone leaves the station. Now Rick stands peering under the hood of a car with his hands in his pockets. Teddy strolls up behind him.
Hey, Rick. I thought you were leaving. Look, I got a problem.
Somebody ran off with my battery.
Rick points to the car and Teddy leans on the Raze's hood with a confused expression.
How much you want to bet every other vehicle on this block is inoperable? Bet you $5.
Elsewhere, Deanna takes the trash out into an alley lit by hanging string lights. She strolls back into the bar, brushing her hands together. Teddy and Rick stare down at his engine.
Someone don't want us leaving.
Now they share a look. Back in the alley, Deanna heaves out another trash bag and sets it on the bin. As she turns around, she jumps, spotting two cloaked figures watching her.
Hello?
Rick and Teddy walk away from the car.
Now, I can pretty much guarantee I got nothing in the shop's gonna fit in that cruiser. But if the lines are back up, I can give a call into Ingram tomorrow morning. That's the best I can do for you.
Appreciate it, Rick. I've seen enough weird shit in the last 24 hours. I don't want to wait till tomorrow morning. Okay. You have somewhere secure to hold up?
Hey, I'm right here.
All right.
What do you want?
In the alley, Deanna watches the cloaked people with fearful eyes as one takes a knife from their sleeve.
Harry? Teddy? Someone?
In the street, Teddy draws his gun.
Rick, you stay here.
He takes off and Rick turns, strutting into his office. Deanna grabs a shovel and holds it up as the person slashes at her with the knife.
Harry! Teddy! Ah! Teddy!
Teddy rushes in behind the figure.
Where's the other one?
What other one?
The other cloaked figure appears and smashes Teddy's hand with a hammer. He drops the gun and they grapple. The hooded person punches Teddy in the face. Deanna whacks him with the shovel, then drives it down into their body repeatedly. Teddy pulls her away as she pants with a fierce look on her face. He guards her with his arm as more figures appear. Harry comes out with a mallet.
All right, you said somebody. Okay, you guys, I want you to get inside.
Teddy and Deanna hurry inside.
All right, come on, you sons of bitches. Close the door!
Harry, no, come on.
No, come on. Shut the goddamn door!
Teddy pulls Deanna inside and Bobby slams the door shut. Harry swings and whacks two of the people to the ground. Now he catches the third's blade on his mallet handle and they struggle with Harry's arms holding it high in the air. The other two figures rush in and stab Harry in the gut. At Rick's repair shop, he pulls a revolver from a red toolbox. He flips the chamber open, checks it, and flips it closed. He looks around, then steps through his garage, pointing the gun before him.
Show yourself! Come on!
His eyes scan around as he moves closer to us, holding the gun in front of his face.
I ain't in the mood for no hide and seek.
Rick steps toward the road, wielding his gun. Fog drifts over the roadway as he looks around in the dim light. Rick whips around to find a hooded figure standing behind him with a knife. He shoots him and the person falls to the ground. Rick turns back to the road with an alert look on his face. Now, in Mary's diner, Cindy peeps through the blinds at the empty street.
What's with all the gunshots?
I'm not so sure if I know what's going on.
Mary hunches behind her and rubs Cindy's back.
It's better we stay here.
At the bar, Bobby peeps through the window blinds.
Gunshots from Rick's place.
Teddy holds ice to his head.
Can you see him?
No, Rick's a smart fella.
Yeah, well, smarts don't matter if they get the jump on you like these fellas have. We've seen that. How the hell do they move so fast?
Who are these people?
I don't know.
We have any guns in here? Nah. Harry's always hated the damn things.
Yeah.
Deanna sits in a bar stool, crying into her lap. At Rick's place, he turns back to observe the shot figure laying on the floor of his garage. He lays motionless with blood-stained gunshot holes in the chest of his cloak. Rick spins around as another hooded guy runs past and he shoots at him. He cocks his head, looking after the runner, then turns to see another hooded figure approach him. Rick lowers his revolver with a smirk. He sets the gun aside on a barrel.
Alright. Wanna dance?
He grabs a crowbar from the shelf and holds it at the ready.
Let's tango.
His eyes shift to the side as he spots another clocked guy step over with a knife.
Son of a bitch. How many of you fuckers are there?
He takes his gun from the barrel and holds it calmly as the guy with the knife steps forward.
See you, kiddies.
Rick aims at some pressurized tanks. A flaming explosion blasts out of the garage and the group recoils in the bar.
Oh, shit.
They peek out the window.
Oh, my God.
All right, I gotta get back to the station.
You can't go out there.
She's right, Teddy, you can't.
No, there's no other option.
Why?
I got another revolver in the office. Ammo. And I'm pretty sure I have a shotgun in the back of the cruiser. Oh, shit, it might be in Joe's cruiser. Come on, think, Teddy, think.
Deanna hurries around the bar and tosses him a bat.
Teddy, here. Take that.
My God, what is this thing doing in here?
Harry always made us keep it in case anybody ever tried to rob the place.
Yeah, right. Yeah, as if.
Teddy holds Deanna's chin up to him.
It's only about 100 feet to the station. All right? As soon as I get in there, I can try and hail somebody on the shortwave. Hang in there, okay?
All right. Hey, y'all, there's something moving in there.
They move back to the window.
What the hell?
Is that one of us?
I think he's Rick.
Yeah.
At the repair shop, Rick comes staggering out of the smoking office.
Bernard!
Rick hurries across the street as a body is dragged away.
Bernard! Bernard!
Rick slowly turns toward the sound coming from behind a car. Rick moves toward it, then stops, glancing down at a smear of blood on the ground. Rick peers into the shadows as the monster's hand grabs him by the head and pulls him in. A splatter of blood washes the car window.
What happened?
Cindy turns frightfully from the window and covers her mouth in horror as she sees a hooded figure rise behind Mary. He raises an axe and slashes at Mary. A stream of blood covers a table and Cindy runs out the door and falls in the street. He follows her, raising the axe, and Georgia shoots him with a shotgun.
Come on! Come on!
Hey, come on! Come on!
Cindy and Georgia rush into the bar with the others. Georgia scans around.
Where's Rick?
He didn't make it. We watched him go into Bernard's and
Cindy shakes her head solemnly.
Oh my God.
Georgia looks around wide-eyed.
What is going on?
Georgia, you been keeping an ear on the radio?
Yeah, but there's nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing from Joe or Liz?
Nothing.
Mom, do you think we can call out?
Best we could do is broadcast out and hope somebody driving by has their radio on.
Yeah, it's a hell of a long shot.
Teddy peers out the window holding the bat.
But it could work. You got any more shells for that?
The two shells I just spent have been sitting in this thing for 7 years. Why the fuck would I have any more shells?
Okay, Georgia. Well, I have more shells, but they're back at the station.
Yeah. Mom, you got here with no problems, so maybe Teddy can get back down a few doors without issue.
How many of them are there? We don't even know, do we? Do we even know what they want?
Bobby shrugs and Teddy looks around, pursing his lips.
There was something else.
What do you mean, Cindy?
There is something in those trees. It got Rick.
Well, like another one of those people?
No, it was like something inhuman.
Georgia turns away from her with wide, scared eyes, then peers through the blinds. Teddy steps towards the group with a determined look.
I'm gonna have to go to the station.
Teddy, you can't.
It's okay, Deanna. It's my job. All right. Y'all are gonna have to stay here. Hold this place down. As soon as I leave, you lock this place up. You understand, Bobby?
All right.
Deanna, you still have that radio?
Deanna frowns sadly and heads behind the bar. She sets the boombox on the pool table and Teddy turns a dial.
Hey, okay. All right, I can use this to call you guys from the station, but you won't be able to respond.
Georgia hands him her gun.
Take this. Do you a lot more good than us.
Georgia, what the hell am I going to do with an empty shotgun?
Her shoulders fall as she turns back to the window.
Look, I got another pistol in the office. I'll get you some more shells for that. And then I'll hustle back here.
And then what?
As soon as the sun comes up, I will walk us out of here if I have to.
Bobby and the girls nod. Teddy tightens his lip and nods back.
Okay.
What are they doing?
Teddy peels the blinds open and peers through. The others join them at the window and they all look out.
What are they doing?
At the Christmas tree farm stand, one cloaked figure drags another across the ground into the dark.
They're feeding whatever's in there.
Teddy glances at the distracted group, then takes off out of view.
I'm not so sure going out there is the best.
Deanna turns, looking around. Bobby turns searching too.
I must have gone out back. I'm gonna make sure it's locked.
Deanna returns to the window with the women and Bobby hurries away. Outside, Teddy holds the bat at the ready as he approaches the auto shop. He glances around as he steps into the street, then stops in his tracks as he sees a cloaked guy strolling toward him with a crowbar. The guy swings the crowbar and Teddy catches it with the bat. He swings the bat into the guy's head and he staggers back. Teddy swings and misses as he takes the crowbar to his gut. He knocks the guy to the ground and holds the bat up high. Another hooded person hits Teddy from behind. They struggle, and the guy strangles Teddy with a curved weapon. A third assailant appears and Teddy kicks him away. He twists out of the other's grip and takes his weapon. He readies himself as one guy gets to his feet, then whacks him in the head. Another drops Teddy with a blow to his leg. Joe stands over them with a shotgun.
Get the hell inside, now!
Joe shoots the cloaked guy on the ground. Teddy runs into the station.
Come on!
Joe follows him in while shooting at more hooded people. They barricade the door with a desk.
Jesus Christ! Joe, you're alive!
Oh, yeah. Here! Whoa! Anybody comes through that door, you kill it.
Joe tosses Teddy the shotgun.
Where's Liz?
Joe turns sharply to him with a blood-stained face. He shakes his head.
What the hell's going on here, Joe?
Oh, haven't you heard? Some asshole said some fancy words and raised a goddamn demon out of hell.
Joe riffles in his desk, dumping ammo from a box.
What the hell do they want?
Ain't it obvious?
Joe loads rounds into a revolver.
We saw them feeding it.
Here you go. Serving us up like dinner on a goddamn silver platter.
They're even feeding it, they're dead.
Teddy stares out the window with the gun held to his shoulder. He glances back at Joe, frantically searching cabinets.
You saw it, didn't you, Joe?
Joe shoots him a fierce look.
Up close and personal. How'd you get away from it?
I wind it, dined it, and then I claymore mined it.
Where were you?
Bill's. Front yard.
Joe! Look in the evidence locker.
Joe's hands shake as he fumbles a key into the locker. His eyes go wide as he pulls it open.
Holy shit. Where the hell did you get this?
We caught Bill using it a couple years back trying to get rid of a mole problem. Sheriff, before you had to wrestle it away from him.
Thank you, Bill.
Where the hell are these guys?
They both tug on the slab blinds, peering through.
Who's left? We've got Cindy, Georgia, Bobby, and Deanna all locked in at the grill.
All right. You're gonna make sure that they stay alive. And when the time is right, you're gonna get them out of town.
How am I gonna do that?
Oh, we're gonna level the playing field. Where are they feeding them at?
Last we saw, it was over at Bernard's tree farm, but shit, it could be anywhere by now.
Rick told me you're a good football player. Is that true?
I was, back in high school. Why?
I want you to run straight up the middle. Draw as many of those Michael Meyer wannabes with you as you can.
Okay. Who's Michael Myers?
Joe glances up, then waves the revolver over to him.
Oh, for Christ's sake, just holster this thing off!
What are you gonna do?
Joe turns slowly with a manic expression.
Oh, I have a date with a big, toothy, horny monster. And it's about to get fucked!
Okay.
Teddy grabs the radio handset from the desk.
Georgia!
The group at the bar hurries to the radio.
I'm over at the sheriff's station, and
Joe's here. He's alive.
I'm on my way back to you, so I hope you can hear this. You better be ready to get that door open.
Bobby turns back to the window as a hooded figure appears at the door. They slip a knife through the door crack into Bobby's gut and he staggers.
Hi.
Georgia and Cindy grab Bobby, leading him to the pool table. He lays back shaking as they pull his shirt up. A single bloody gash appears on his stomach.
Bobby, this is gonna hurt.
Cindy presses napkins to the wound.
Breathe, Bobby, get me really tight. It's okay. No, don't say that, there's nothing to be sorry for, Bobby.
The girls wrap the napkins down with strips of duct tape.
It's okay, just breathe, sweet, Bobby, stay with me, look at me. Bobby.
Deanna frowns down at Bobby as tears flow from his eyes. His mother holds his face tenderly, stroking his hair.
Bobby, come back to me. It's okay. Just breathe. No, slow. It's okay.
Back at the station, Teddy steps outside with a bloody nose and aims the shotgun down the street. He shoots a cloaked guy at close range, Then another charges at him from the side and they struggle, dropping the shotgun. Teddy pushes him off, then takes two bloody blows to the head. Teddy pushes him off and rips the revolver from his holster. Teddy falls back against the wall as blood streams down his cheek. Teddy stumbles to the bar and the girls pull him inside.
I'm okay.
Teddy sits against the wall, his face covered in blood as he looks up at Deanna. His gaze shifts to Bobby.
Is he?
Deanna nods.
Yeah. She died just a few minutes ago.
Teddy's face falls.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. Was...
Deanna holds his head to hers.
Oh, wait.
Georgia holds Bobby, sinking into him.
Joe. Joe's still out there.
Teddy stares wildly at Deanna. Now, at the sheriff's office, Joe steps out onto the road. He approaches two hooded figures by the tree farm and aims a long weapon at them. They explode in a fiery plume, and Joe advances with a hard expression. He steps into the settling smoke by the bodies, then turns menacingly as he spots another hooded figure approach him with Harry's mallet. Joe drops the explosive weapon to the ground and kneels, picking up a wooden bat. The person swings at him and Joe blocks the blow with the bat. He staggers back and heads around a gas pump as the cloaked guy swings again. Joe comes around the other side of the pumps and lands a hard blow. The other guy swings back, clocking Joe in the face. They both struggle to their feet, using their weapons as support. Joe takes some readying steps, watching the guy with savage eyes. He blocks a blow from the mallet, then lands one, dropping the guy to the ground again. The hooded guy lays spread eagle on the ground, unmoving as Joe strikes down hard. He drops the bat and stumbles back. Now Joe strenuously reaches down for the explosive weapon. Joe steps in line with the entrance to the tree farm. He holds the grenade launcher at his hip as he stares down the dark row of trees, lit by colored string lights. Joe reaches in his jacket pocket and pulls out another explosive. He loads it in the gun. Joe's eyes trail to the ground, and he sets down his weapon. He steps forward, grabbing Bernard's chainsaw from the entry gate. Joe moves slowly through the trees, wielding the chainsaw. His eyes dart around as his face catches the glow of colored lights. As he passes a row of trees, the monster appears between them. Joe whips around, slashing the air with the chainsaw. He continues glancing around, not seeing the monster as it moves closer to Joe. The monster stands upright between some trees, and Joe slashes around again, hitting nothing but pine branches. Joe's eyes peel wide open as he whips around manically, sawing into trees. Joe saws again as the monster lurks in the trees behind him. Joe's head swivels side to side as the trees shake around him. He slashes again and again, not catching sight of the monster. Joe holds the chainsaw into a tree, shaking it relentlessly as the monster slips away. A tree falls before Joe and a string of lights go out. The monster reaches over the fallen tree, as Joe steps back to the entry swapping his chainsaw for the grenade launcher. Watches as the monster's head rises over the fallen tree. It bares its sharp teeth and rolls its ear around as it roars. Joe aims the grenade launcher at it. He fires and a huge blast shoots back from the trees. Joe recoils in the cloud of smoke, hunched over his knee as it clears around him. Over at the bar, the door opens and Cindy hesitantly steps out. Teddy and Deanna move into the doorway, peering at the street littered with bodies.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Deanna supports Teddy as he limps from the building, and Joe joins the group in the street.
How's your night going, Sheriff?
I think it's gonna be okay. You all right, Deputy?
Deanna gives Teddy a soft smile.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
Good.
What now, Joe?
Well, I think we should get the hell out of here and find the next biggest town. Do we all agree?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We gotta find a car that has a battery in it.
Well, then let's go do that.
The group limps slowly down the road away from us.
So how do you like small towns, Sheriff?
You can take a subway.
Credits appear. Ed Moroney as Joe. Crash Buist as Teddy. Tony Todd as Harry. Adrian Barbeau as Georgia. Meg Foster as Mary. Courtney Gaines as Bernard. John Kassir as Rick. Paige Sturgis as Liz. Edward Finley as Bobby. Mike Ferguson as Anton. Danielle Gross as Deanna. Sam Mason as Chuck. Devin Reeve as Ben. Stephanie Cypher as Cindy. With Bruce Dern as Bill Unger. And Billy Zane as Joshua. Elsewhere, a radio sits on a diner table as a man munches on a basket of fries. A waitress strolls over.
Wow, what's going on in the next town over? Seems to be a lot of police action.
No one cares about a small town, folks, Sheila. That's why I moved to Ingram. Couldn't stand the crowds and tourists and all that capitalism. Not for me.
You're just such a sourpuss.
What they say.
The waitress turns to the scraggly-haired man from the hell pit.
What can I do for you today?
Well, you can tell me about your quaint little town here.
Credits roll. Written and directed by Justin Lee. Producers Demon Hillen, Justin Lee, Melanie Young. Executive producers Avi Haas, Frank C. Salzano, Vasily Bernhardt, Teres Scheidlich, Sandra Powers, Zachary Powers. Co-executive producers Ellen Wander, Jordan Dykstra, Jeff Bowler. Co-producers Rich Carlo, Devin Reeve. Associate producer Rachvin Narula, Kulthep Narula, Amy Covell. First assistant director Logan Thomas Peterson. 2NF assistant director Gregory Rhodes. Director of photography Logan Fulton. Music by Christopher Cano. Production designer Ashley Crater. Art swing Philip Astor. Art swing Jason Shields. Props master Evan Switch. Props Gagik Avedian. Props Emma Oliver. Props Caden Shields. Construction coordinator Joshua Bradis. Costume designer Samantha Kuster. Makeup department head Melanie Young. Makeup department Melissa Hayes, Beth O'Rourke. Production manager Larry Layfield. Special effects supervisor Quentin Farina. Sound mixer Louis Alfaro. Boom operator, sound mixer Jonathan Scott. Second unit DP Eamon Long. Steadicam operator George Ballinger. First assistant camera Marcus Friedlander. Gaffer Oscar Martinez. Wardrobe supervisor Jocelyn Kwan. Assistant costume designer Matilda Matucci. Transportation David Hambertsumian. Transportation captain Roger Roberge II. Production accountant Amy Covell. Production legal Joseph Lanius and Lanius Law. Key set production assistant Jamie Portillo. Production assistant Dalton Ibarra. Joshua, Billy Zane. Mary, Meg Foster. Georgia, Adrian Barbeau. Bill Unger, Bruce Dern. Harry, Tony Todd. Bernard, Courtney Gaines. Rick, John Kassir. Bobby, Edward Finley. Anton, Mike Ferguson. Deanna, Danielle Gross. Joe, Ed Moroni. Liz, Paige Sturgis. Teddy, Crash Bust. Bed, Devin Reeve. Cindy, Stephanie Cipher. Chuck, Sam Mason. Charlie, Dalton Ibarra. Eleanor, Jamie Portillo. Timmy, Jack Kleins. Waitress, Excelina Ordonez. The Vessel, Greg Beaton. The Creature, Sanford Worth. The Town Patron, Max Gamble. Editor Eamon Long, Crash Bust. Additional music by Eduardo Olguin. Post-production by J.K. Post. Post-production supervisor James Kondelik. Colorist Dan Watt. Re-recording mixer Tony Solis. Sound design James Kondelik. Foley Maverick Yaddo. VFX by CKVFX. VFX artists Steve Clark, Paul Knott. Candy Baby, written and performed by Christopher Cano and Jamie Valentine. Rome Equals You, written and performed by Ender Bender. Reconnect, written and performed by Ender Bender. Bewildered, written and performed by Ender Bender. New Era, written and performed by Ender Bender. Logo, SAG-AFTRA. Copyright 2020 Hillen Entertainment Production. All rights reserved PA World Film LLC. A camera recording glitches static, then settles on a shot of Deanna sipping from a coffee mug.
Thank you.
Pretty interesting story, miss.
She swallows hard.
Well, it's all true.
She faces us with a somber expression.
Have you talked to Teddy? Or Joe?
Jerry Anderson? Yeah, we have.
And you know everything.
Oh, it's a rather far-fetched story. Certainly you can understand that.
But not untrue.
You know where the bodies are?
The tree farm. Have you checked the tree farm?
Yeah, we did. Look, there's nothing there. Just to be honest, there's no evidence that anyone is there other than your own townsfolk.
What?
We know something happened. Hell, we have missing people. That's a fact.
What about Georgia? She would never have left her son's side. She had to have been there when he got there, right?
Georgia's missing. We don't know about it.
Dead.
So what you're saying, let the truth be told, you all have the same story. But there's no real evidence of what happened other than a bunch of you small-town folk going a bit crazy, coming up with a very bizarre kind of events. So help me here. What is it you're not telling me?
It doesn't matter what I tell you. You don't believe what we saw until you see it for yourself.